Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the day extension.
How was the boss?
Always fantastic. And I've been manipulating my way into primo seats, so got a extreme close-up.
There you go.
Where? Playing where?
Tulsa.
Nicely done.
God's country.
Very nicely done. He did. I saw a photo that you put out there. Very extreme close-up. Very well done from Paul Kuharski. So, PK, some moves made by the Titans yesterday. I don't think any of them overly surprising with Lawan, Woods, Cunningham, and Randy Bullock. What's your reaction to that, and what's your reaction to Bud Dupree not being a part of those moves?
Well, look, there's no deadline on Bud Dupree. It's
right.
Not like because Bud Dupree didn't happen yesterday, he's not going to happen. It could happen today because they couldn't get in touch with his agent or with him. Or it could happen March 15th as a June 1st cut, which would designation, which would spread out the dead cap money. I think Bud Dupree is still inevitably going to be released. So it's a matter of time, in my estimation. $11 million of cap space right now sounds great compared to where they were. It doesn't sound great as you look to reconstruct a roster that's going to take a lot of additions, even though there aren't, you know, a lot of terrific names heading to market at the positions where the Titans need help, which is the situation they put themselves in. But, you know, great left tackles don't make it to market, and that's the case at most of the positions where they need help. None of this is a surprise. I think everybody should have been braced for it. And you know what they've lost. I think nationally, people are going to look at it and say, "Wow, that was a real reckoning for the Titans." But if you run through exactly what happened, Lawan's missed 34 of 66 games over the last 4 years. He's been off the field more often than he's been on the field. Robert Woods didn't run away from anyone ever. 9.9 yards a catch and 2 whole touchdowns, way overpaid. Zach Cunningham played 6 games and was outplayed by Dylan Cole. And Randy Bullock tried 6 whole field goals from 47 yards or longer in a day where field goal kickers are hitting from deeper and deeper, hit just 3 of those and severely limited an offense that could have used the 3 points from time to time from 47 yards or further. So they didn't lose a ton there by any means, but they've got replacing to do.
Okay, so if you are Rand Carthon or Vray Rand or whatever, the Titans, would you think about the super cheap 1 year with Lawan, go to him, just, hey, what do you think? You know, take a flyer, have him for whatever that role may be. You still are drafting a left tackle pretty high, but, you know, you've at least got a swing tackle potentially. And also, are you done with Dupree? Or are you looking at your edge situation and saying, well, if something else could be done there, what's the market for him out there? What about, you know, a different deal for him? How are you looking at those two situations?
Well, in terms of Lawan, it's only way later. I mean, it's not now. You know, you go do your best to fix your offensive line, and then after free agency, after the draft, after post-draft free agency, if you still feel uncomfortable with your offensive tackle depth, you maybe have a conversation internally about how you think he might handle that role. And then you could approach him about what money he'd be willing to take. And then you could take a look at his knee. And then you could talk to him about, could he put the weight back on and how invested would he be and how could he handle the role? And even then, you know, if he's coming in as a swing tackle, you know, and you have to call on him and something goes wrong with the knee, you're down to your 4th tackle again. So I think it's risky. I think it's highly unlikely, but I think that's the scenario where it would play out. I think that Dupree, his health stuff is a concern. I think they're going to make a big move away from guys who've missed a lot of games. And I think Dupree's going to be a great value for somebody that already has good rushers in place. But I don't know that that's going to happen here. The only way that you get his cost down if you're the Titans is to extend him. And he's not the youngest, healthiest guy to extend.
PK, I mean, obviously you've covered Taylor Lewan's entire career here, from the injuries and the PEDs and the penalties to really good play in 19 and 20 that we've talked about earlier on the show. How do you think Taylor Lewan will be remembered as a member of the Titans?
Unfulfilled. You know, the early years were really great, but to be honest, after the Boss Hog moment, you know, a lot of missed opportunities, largely because of injuries, but the PED thing was a bad start. And then he missed 34 of 66 games, mostly because of that knee. And, you know, they had a great string there of Brad Hopkins to Michael Roos to Taylor Lewan. And Lewan can't quite be mentioned with those guys because he didn't have the longevity and he's not in position. And I wrote about this a couple of years ago. He really wanted to pass the torch the way those guys did, and he's not going to be able to do that. But he's a terrific guy for the team. And look, I'm incredibly biased. I have a really good relationship with him. I know everybody feels like they do, but you know, I've been able to have conversations with him behind the scenes two ways, you know, with each of us giving each other a hard time, but helping each other out. And I don't think there'll be another guy like that in the Titans locker room. Even if a guy with a personality like that comes in, they'll get a hold of him earlier and mute him. And it's just, the league doesn't, not the league, but the team and the nature of the media business now doesn't pay back somebody for being like that. So I think he was kind of the last of a breed that was still, even though we hit him early, you know, and I had a thing I wrote about in an unlocked piece, you know, where I put out a picture of him getting his ass beat by Whitney Merciless and he was upset about it. You know, in a lot of instances, you'd be done with the guy there, but he wanted to kind of know why that came to be and was concerned with his relationships with the press because he had such a big personality and just wanted to be out there. And now most guys want to hide.
I'm even more depressed that we're losing him now.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm glad I did him justice.
You did.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I think he, if that exact person came along 10 years from now or whatever, I don't think he would be, I think he's unmutable, but there aren't many like that, right? I mean, I don't even know. You're much older than I am, so, you know, you can speak to this better than me, and you've covered this league for a long time, but I mean, was this, you know, was this all over locker rooms, you know, that guys who would speak this freely and be that honest and kind of unafraid to take the hits, you know, 20 years ago?
It was more frequent, Joe. But the other thing I think, like, you know, and I wrote this, you know, Bruce Matthews used to always be playing some kind of game in that locker room, you know, and Neil O'Donnell rode a scooter naked through there to loosen the mood when the team got tight and he felt like they needed something. And Josh Evans was called Shrek because he looked like Shrek, but he got sick of it and he took the cardboard cutout they had near him and shredded it into pieces. And Steve Watterson was always playing pranks, and all of that's gone. You know, and they probably have fun in that locker room that we don't get to see anymore, but it's also just much more businesslike. And I think it's just the evolution of the league, and Lewan still brought that energy and that fun and let us see it. And I think after him, it doesn't exist to any great degree in there. And to me, and I think to fans, it's a bad thing because you don't get that element of the vibe.
Paul, last thing here for you. How big of a priority should David Long Jr. be in your mind? You know, the Cunningham cut is a no-brainer for the Titans, but now with David Long Jr. out there, how big of a priority do you think he should be?
How much did I like Monty Rice? You know, they went from they've been on a good streak at this position, from Avery Williamson to Jeff Brown to David Long. And then they went even higher in the draft with Monty Rice. David Long's this repeat offender with the hamstring. I think it's 11 games in 2 years. He's a really good player, but he's not a really good player when he's not out there. And I would think it would affect his price in the market. So it would help them that the price wouldn't get that escalated in the market, but it would hurt them in that maybe he's more affordable for them because he's not available. So I don't know. It's a tricky one. I mean, you want the guy when he's on the field because he's fantastic. But if he's going to step out on you every year for an important stretch of games, like I said, I think they're trying to get away from that. And maybe they like Monty Rice, you know, more than we know. That's an important position. That other position, you know, Dylan Cole and Jack Gibbons, you know, aren't guys you'd pick if you were drafting a team right now. But they're sufficient rundown defenders as a one-and-a-half down player. So David Long's going to be an interesting case, but they got to get 17 games out of him, 15 games out of him, and that's not been the case. So can he convince them he's learned how to train, and can he get the hamstring right? That's the biggest question about David Long to me, and what's the rest of the market see in that?
Paul Koharski from PaulKoharski.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, normally joins us on Wednesdays. Moved the schedule around a little bit this week, but PK will be back with us next Wednesday as well. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, you guys.
Absolutely. Paul Koharski with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. We'll get your reaction to the Titans roster moves yesterday, cutting Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Zach Cunningham, and Randy Bullock. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. I got some tickets to give away to see Depeche Mode coming up on Thursday, October 19th. We call number 5-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, call number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Depeche Mode coming up on Thursday, October 19th, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Paul Koharski for joining us in the last segment. Titans move on from Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Zach Cunningham, and Randy Bullock yesterday, Joe. I don't think any of those a huge surprise. I guess maybe the most surprising one would be Bullock, but even that, we talked about yesterday about how the Titans need to find a better kicker than Randy Bullock. So not any huge surprise with the Titans yesterday. I think we had Lewan and Cunningham specifically penciled in as no-brainers that the Titans were going to move on from. You know, I thought it made a lot of sense to move on from Robert Woods. I guess there was a chance that they could have kept him around and hope that he was healthier next year and that he's fully recovered from the ACL and all that stuff, but they didn't. Decided to move on from him. Bud Dupree was not a part of the cuts yesterday, which you've had a lot of questions about on the text line today, but your reaction to the Titans moving on from those four players yesterday and Bud Dupree, as of now, still a member of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I would say that Bullock was a slight surprise. You know, if you're moving on, again, you could bring him back. I mean, like, who knows where it'll go? You don't have an obvious answer there. I do agree that they need to upgrade at kicker, but that was one I wouldn't have necessarily guessed. The other ones I would have guessed for sure. I mean, I think Cunningham and Lewan were 100% locks. Woods, I left a little sliver of, well, just because they're so depleted in the receiving core, do you feel like second year out the ACL, you know, that it's different, but that's not surprising. I mean, maybe a little surprising. Freedom from
the Robert Woods
when he got out of here.
He just tweeted free with an exclamation point. I looked at that yesterday. I was like, man, Is it that bad playing wide receiver for the Titans?
Traffic is pretty bad around here.
Well, I mean, came from L.A.
Of course, he come from it. Yeah, he was in L.A. before this. Buffalo was probably fine.
Yeah, probably so. I was like, geez. Like, you know, I thought back to A.J. Brown talking about how, you know, it's no fun playing for the Titans, and now Robert Woods is, like, celebrating, walking out of the door. It's just an interesting time for Titans wide receivers.
Rabel's over there, running a, like a monastery or something.
Yeah, what's going on?
You know? No one can speak. I don't know. Yeah, that was kind of interesting. But if you're Robert Woods, again, I would feel liberated after a year of being in that offense, not being in that offense,
yes,
given what it was. But he didn't help the offense be better either. So, and dropping passes and not getting open. So, yeah, none of them. And Dupree is interesting. I totally hear all the things, like with Long too, like what Carsey's talking about. I totally hear this idea of they're trying to move away. They want to move away from, I mean, first of all, it is the NFL. You're going to have dudes hurt next year. I mean, even if you're the best health luck team in the league next year, you're going to have a bunch of people hurt and miss games. Like, you can't get away from it.
Right.
If you could get away from that, teams would. It's a brutal, violent sport. That said, some people are more injury prone than others. Bud Dupree seems to be getting pretty fragile. But also, you're just so in need still at edge, and you're going to put all your eggs in the Harold Landry coming off his own ACL basket next year. And so I'm really interested in that. I think that could go a lot of ways. I'm a little bit more in TD's camp on the, try to redo the deal with him and try to keep him. But even with Lawan, I think Kaharski had a good breakdown of how it would go timeline-wise. You could draft a left tackle 11, Skoronski, Johnson, whoever, and that player could be a worse choice next year than Taylor Lewan. If Taylor Lewan's healing goes perfectly as planned. Absolutely. He could be the better option for you, and he could be playing on like a $2 million whatever the heck it is deal. I don't know how low he'd be willing to go. I'm pretty strongly in favor of giving that a look because there's just so much to do with this offensive line. If you have depth at tackle, wow, good, because you're who the heck knows what you're looking at inside. Taylor Lewan says on his podcast yesterday he expects the Titans to cut Ben Jones. I don't see how that would happen, but he said it. Why would he say that?
I don't know. I don't know why he would just – he's not making it up. So,
I think. So maybe that tells me that Ben Jones thought so. But think about where they could be overall that offensive line. Anybody you think might be able to play, if you don't have to pay him a lot, do that.
Well, let's think about where it stands right now. The one person that I feel confident about being on the offensive line in a starting role next year is Nicholas Petit-Frere, and I would describe his rookie season as okay, up and down, got a little rough toward the end of the year, to be honest with you. Like, he's a rookie, so maybe he gets, pretty significantly better over the offseason, and that's what you're hoping for if you're the Titans. But that's the right tackle spot. And I could make an argument that left tackle, left guard, center, and right guard could all be different for the Titans next year. Now, in some roles, it needs to be different for the Titans next year. I'm just saying there's a lot to work on if you are the Titans with the offensive line that you got to put together. And that's not even factoring in wide receiver because you just moved on from Robert Woods, and you got a lot of work to do on the receiving core too.
You got Treylon Burks. You got Kyle Phillips.
Yep.
You got Rayson McMath. You got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And I would look at, like, those four would be, I'd count them in, and I would say two of them you want to be key players. Again, two names. Two players who we don't know about, who have never played for the Titans, need to be on the field for the Titans next year and like, key parts of the offense. That's a lot, along with the offensive line. Real quick, Dennis asking, do you guys agree with PK's assessment of Lewan's legacy, the unfulfilled part? And I said, I think it's fair when you compare it to like Garcia did. Like they've had a really good stretch at that position.
Yeah,
he didn't match up to the previous two guys. But Dennis asked, what would have made his career quote fulfilled?
Well, I mean, look, they gave him a big contract, and for two of those years, he basically missed the whole year, right? I mean, that's part of it. I mean, you have a four-game PED suspension in 2019. What did he play, five games in 2020? And then he was hurt the rest of the year. And then this past year, he played the first game and then was on the field for like one drive against Buffalo, and that was it, and he was done. So you're talking about a lot of money for not much time on the field when you're paying him that money. So that, I mean, that's the part of it that was unfulfilled to me.
Yeah, and also just, well, I mean, obviously people, I mean, he did get to an AFC title game, but I mean, he was, he was on a team last year that had the number one seed. So there's a lot of unfulfilled with the guys, you know, recently who have been on this roster. So Matt says, not sure if you guys have listened to the opening segment of Bussin today. No,
we've not.
But he said Luan alluded that the Titans asked about a discount yesterday and he declined. Can we get that?
Are
we
able to get I'm actually listening to it right now, so okay. I'll try to get it for you guys.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then we can just stop talking about it.
Well.
But you know what?
At least for now.
First of all, if the Titans ask about a discount, I say good, because you should have thought of that. So I say good on the Titans. Then if he declined, well, then that's it. Right? I mean, I don't think he's going to play football anymore.
Andrew on the text line says, I feel fine with the receiving core if they find a solid wide receiver one.
Well, sure. I would feel fine with it,
too.
No problem.
That's hard to find.
I mean, Treylon Burks has to be wide receiver one. In his career?
His career, I have no confidence that Treylon Burks is going to be a number one wide receiver next year. I mean, he's barely on the field, and I mean, we saw glimpses.
Well, he needs to be – he needs to be like a 1-2 who plays every game and produces
right.
Next year. Where he was drafted.
Eventually,
wide receiver one.
For sure.
But, yeah, if you had, you know, because some teams have this, if you had two, like, 1-2 guys who are actually good in those roles, that's good. That's a good combination. But who is that? Who's that other guy? I mean, the draft is kind of thin. Free agency is awful.
Yeah.
So,
is it a trade?
It may have to be a trade.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Titans cut Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Zach Cunningham, and Randy Bullock yesterday. Taking your reaction to that, Alex from Montreal on the text line says, Bud Dupree will be designated a post-June 1st cut, I believe. It saves them more money. This is from Alex from Montreal.
And I responded, yes, that is definitely possible. The dead money gets spread among the next 2 years, so you save more money this year. But I do think, and so far I've been exactly right on Vrabathon or Vrayran. Which is it? I think Vrayran's better than Vrabathon. You know, Dylan, I hear you. Vrabathon doesn't sound enough like Rancarthon to me. I know there's a thon, but it sounds like Vrabapalooza. Okay? Vrayran. Vrayran is, I
like them both.
Okay. Yeah, well,
it could be interchangeable.
It's also like Vray Rob, so it's you're changing two letters.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So, so the Lewan. What did Lewan say? I want to hear what Lewan said.
Well, we're working on that.
Oh, okay. So. I'm sorry. I thought you had it. My bad. Okay. I'm also being told $2 million isn't realistic. Yeah. You know, probably makes that for his podcast. Bonus incentive laden, all that stuff. Sure.
Same thing for us.
I totally agree with that.
Let's right around $2 million on our Robbie and Rex Road podcast, too.
Is that all? Are we get a pay cut? When the hell did that happen?
Izzo took some of the money.
Dude, you got to stop negotiating for us. That is some BS. No, I agree. I got a text from someone in the know about the idea. I would totally, if I were the Titans or if I were Lewan, I would want a bonus every start and things. And you know what? And it could end up being like a bunch of starts too. So, sure. A flat $2 million is probably too cheap.
Here's what Taylor Lewan had to say on Bussin' with the Boys that came out this morning.
there was a piece of me that's like, should I be doing something? Should I be? And then when I walked out of the building today, like, said hello to everybody, talked to all the guys that I've been around for a long time. There's a lot of guys that have been in that building for a long time and I've gotten to know really well. And after those goodbyes, I kind of walked out and I was like, it's a refreshing feeling.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Like, the mourning process has happened since I got hurt week two of the season. Because when I had to go get surgery, I went to Vrabel's office and I said, I know I'm going to get cut. I understand. Like, that is how this is going to work. So the mourning process has been since the fall. And now that it's happened, I really just thought like they were going to like put me down. Like, they were going to shoot me or something and it was going to be over.
Yeah.
But really, like, I walked in there and Vrabel and I were talking about Jen and her foot when they first came to Tennessee, and then Rand came in and shook his hand and kind of just sat there for a second. I go, so how's this go? And like, do you guys put it like, kill me?
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal?
Pull out the shotgun.
And they're just like, they're like, yeah, we just gotta, you know, we're releasing you and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I know. So is that it? And then that was kind of the end of the conversation. Yeah, that was it. There was a question of whether or not they would have to go into all the conversation, but the answer is I got cut and now I just got to figure out what to do.
Do you know what you want to do right now?
I want to get my knee healthy is what I want to do. Cause.
So that was Taylor Lewan on Bussin' with the Boys this morning.
Yeah. That, I think Matt misrepresented that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that conversation. When he started talking about, there was a conversation of whether or not I wanted to.
He decided not to say anything.
Like, I could see that being the route that the conversation may have gone.
Sure.
In terms of, maybe the Titans asking him about taking a pay cut. But that's, I don't know if I'm willing to make that leap based on that.
No, in fact, when he just said, I want to get my knee healthy. And that's exactly what Carsey's talking about. Like, right now, if you're the Titans, you have to figure out a way to fix this offensive line, and he's out of the equation. Right?
Yeah.
But I don't listen to that and think that down the line, let's say the knee heals tremendously well and the Titans call him up and say, hey, man, let's talk about this. I mean, look, you know, we drafted fill in the blank, fill in the name, but, you know, we still think, you know, let's check out the knee. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what would work. And I agree. I mean, I think it's a very good point that, like, an incentive-laden, participation-based contract, which is absolutely worth it for the Titans if he does end up starting a bunch of games for you, is worth talking about. And if you're Lewan, there's obviously more incentive there because you could end up having, you know, getting close to that number. Again, he's going to be fine. This podcast is very successful. I mean, he's, you know, he could do media stuff if he wanted to do analyst stuff. I think he'd be really good. So it's not about the money, but does he have the desire to play a few months down the road, done with the mourning process, and like, you know what, this team looks pretty good and I could be a big part of it and I want to finish what I started? I think all that stuff's still possible. From that little segment there, that didn't rule it out to me.
No. Now, you know, again, I could see he didn't get into it there, but I could see that being where that conversation went. You know, I still think the chances of him being back are very low. I mean, I think they're very low. I'm not saying I wouldn't approach him if I were the Titans and have that conversation. I just don't think it's going to work out that way. Like, I think the Titans are going to have a new left tackle, and they're going to have Taylor Lewan not on this team next year. But, again, I do think it's a conversation that is worth having if you're the Titans and you get to that point. We got a texter that asked, Corey and Clarksville said, could we bring Lewan back and possibly play center? Remember Bruce Matthews. I do remember Bruce Matthews.
No.
He was not normal. Yeah, Bruce Matthews could do it all.
Yeah, Taylor Lewan is one of those guys who is only an offensive tackle.
Right.
Period. So, I'm with you. I think the chances are low. I also believe Lewan is, what is Lewan? Is he 31?
Is that all he is?
Maybe I'm a little.
He's 31. He'll be 32 in July.
Yeah, he's going to be 32 in July. I also believe that if he were to heal, because, this is where I differ with people, and I think you all are crazy if you think he didn't play great football after the PED. He played great football in 19 and 20. He's had the knee, and I mean, he may never be close to what he was, but I think it's possible. if this went well, that he could easily be your best option at left tackle next season, at least until whoever you draft, if that's what you do at the top of the draft, because it's going to have to be at the top of the draft probably, even if eventually next year that changes. And that's what you hope, that you make a good choice in the draft. But, he could be an ace in the hole, and I think it's worth keeping in touch.
Well, the draft part of this is interesting because let's say they stay at 11. We've talked this week about moving up and going to get a quarterback. Let's say they do the most likely option, which is just to stay at 11. If they don't draft an offensive tackle there, like, where are you getting your starting offensive tackle next year? Now, there's free agency. I mean, you've got Orlando Brown and his situation with Kansas City. I don't know how that's going to play out. They franchise tagged him a year ago, and he's scheduled to become a free agent. I mean, and then I'm looking at the rest of the free agents, like, not a ton. I mean, you got Taylor Wan that's now been added to that list. You know, Eric Fisher, who's 32 years old and has not been healthy. Like, is he even going to play next year? I mean,
it's hard to find a good left tackle.
It's hard to find a good left tackle in the league.
Yeah.
So if it's not going to be a first-round pick, then where does it come from?
Second round?
Now, maybe it is a first-round pick. But, like, that goes back to the all the other needs they have. Like, they have a lot of needs on the offensive line. They got to upgrade wide receiver. Like, you can't get through this offseason and your receiving core next year be Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and Racy McMath. If you do that, that's fine. You have no chance of winning. Like, you can't do that if you're the Titans. So there's a lot to fix. You can't draft everybody in the first round.
Right. Which all comes back to maybe it's a decent time to go get a quarterback.
Just saying. That could be part of it. Speaking of that, got a texter, John in Thompson Station says, if they want to rework Tannehill's contract, when does this need to happen? This is from John in Thompson Station. Doesn't have to happen right now. I mean, you got free agency coming up here in a few weeks. And, I mean, I would assume by the time free agency rolls around, you've at least made your decision on what you want to try to do at quarterback, be that in the draft, be that via trade, or be that just with Tannehill coming back. But it doesn't have to be a reworked contract immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would happen somewhere in that time frame. And that's the thing, too, is, like, what about just – having the flexibility, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. Look, the AJ Brown thing was pushing all the way up into the draft, right?
Yep.
And it was finally, you know, made. The deal was made the day before, basically. But I mean, that totally changed what you were doing. I mean, I think the Titans may have one of these quarterbacks in mind on draft night, but it doesn't mean they're going to get that quarterback.
Exactly.
You know, so. Like, Ryan Tannehill being under contract in 2023, I think makes sense whether you go get your quarterback or not. Now, if you do, then Ryan Tannehill is going to be here next year, and he's going to have tough times probably because you're not going to be able to address the other things because right. of what you're mortgaging to go get the quarterback. But, I mean, so be it if you can do it. So, long story short, I think right now there's also the trade scenario with him too. That's possible too, but I think that you have to have the flexibility. And you, even if you resolve to go get someone, doesn't mean you're going to be able to do it on draft night.
Do you think if the Jets got a chance to meet with Ryan Tannehill, they would tell him that he could be a Hall of Fame quarterback in their organization? Because apparently that's what they told Derek Carr. Well, Ryan, you'll win 3 or 4 Super Bowls with us in a row.
Right now at this moment, who has the better Hall of Fame resume, Derek Carr or Ryan Tannehill?
What a question that is. I mean, probably Tannehill, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Much better. Much stronger. He has...
Derek Carr hasn't even won a playoff game.
Exactly. So if you can tell Derek Carr that, you better tell Ryan Tannehill that.
The headline from today's show, Ryan Tannehill, Hall of Famer, according to Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, will they retire different years so that they don't go in Canton together?
Yes.
Carr and Tannehill.
Yes. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click, presented by T.J. Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action tonight, taking on the San Jose Sharks. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action tonight on the road, taking on the San Jose Sharks. Puck drop at 9:30, pregame at 8:30 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. No changes from the other day. I'm in first place with 14. The listeners in second place with 11 correct answers. Joe Rexroad with 9 correct answers. And Michelle Knezovic with 7 correct answers. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Andrew. Andrew, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going to go with a young gun and go with Parsonen tonight.
Going with Juuso Parsonen. Andrew, thanks for calling in. So Parsonen is the selection by Andrew. Michelle, you are up next. Parsonen is off the board. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Perfect time to go first. I will take Matt Duchene. Thank you.
Matt Duchene, the selection. So Parsonen and Duchene are off the board. I am going to go with Roman Josi. So I will go with the captain. So Parsonen and Duchene, Josi off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
You've been on a Josi run.
I have.
Nino
Niederreiter, the selection. He did score the other day when you didn't pick him.
Yep. That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. So Parsonen, Duchene, Josi, and Niederreiter, the selections, and Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds taking on the Sharks tonight, and we'll see how they respond. Ryan Johansson injured, according to Elliot Friedman, had to have surgery yesterday. So we'll see what the lineup looks like tonight for the Predators as they take on the San Jose Sharks. Joe, kind of wrapping things up here with your thoughts on the Titans and the moves that they made yesterday. How big of a priority are you? And I'll ask you the same question I asked PK. With Cunningham gone, with Monty Rice being on the field very limited time at this point, especially at linebacker, how big of a priority beyond what we already thought is David Long Jr.? Like, to me, this kind of tells me you have to go get David Long Jr. signed.
Yeah, I thought so. I've thought so all along. I haven't changed on that at all. Totally agree on the soft tissue concerns, and Vrabel called him out, basically. Long and Christian Fulton, and you need him. You need him on a consistent basis, and you need that whatever change needs to take place, if it truly is, you know, just something that he can adjust to make it stop. But the guy is a heck of a football player. He's a football player. He's got the green dot out there. He is he just does a lot for this defense. I think this defense is markedly and visibly better when he's on the field, and I think that he should be a priority.
The Robert Woods part of this, obviously we know they're going to have to address wide receiver. Randy Bullock now being dismissed as the kicker. I do wonder, like, what is their plan now at kicker? Do they have somebody that they've already identified? Is it going to be via the draft? Like, is it, I guess, Shudak from last year? Like, what is the plan for the Titans at kicker now that they've moved on from Randy Bullock? I'm interested to see what happens there.
Great question. Apparently, you know, TD was – and others. We're talking about, you know, Jake Moody.
Yep.
At the Senior Bowl Michigan kicker. So, you know, another Big Ten possibility of Shudak, but maybe Shudak. I don't know. But you have to be better than Randy Bullock. I mean, and certainly you can be. He's not great. You can be a lot worse, too.
For sure.
And we saw that before they got him, and he kind of stabilized things. So
you could be Dallas in the playoffs.
Right.
With their kicker.
With an inability to, like, hoping against hope that you can make an extra point. Yeah.
What about Ficken Chicken? Where'd he go?
Sam? Yeah. Sam Ficken?
I don't know where he is.
They liked him. He got hurt. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting if they have something. Like, is a draft pick destined to be used on a kicker? I mean,
he's free agent.
They got a lot of what's that? No, I'm saying in the draft, though.
No, I'm just saying Ficken's a free agent.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, maybe it's him. Maybe you just hit it, Michelle. I don't know.
Called shot.
Now, Sam Ficken never actually kicked a field goal.
Oh, yes. In the NFL?
Yeah, yes. He's played 28 games. Good for him. With the Rams and the Jets. He hadn't played in 3 years, but he's played. I don't think they're going with a kicker that hadn't played in 3 years.
I mean, they don't have that many draft needs, so I think drafting a kicker makes sense.
Yeah, fourth round.
Yeah. I mean.
It takes me back to the all-time great decision. Didn't the Bucks draft a kicker in the second round? Roberto Aguayo?
Yes. Was that second round?
I think so. Let me double check that.
And that did, I mean, that just went completely south on them.
Yeah, second round, 59 overall, a kicker.
And they still won it all a couple years later. How about that?
It's been a second round kick on a kicker that ended up being terrible.
Just terrible.
He played 16 games in the league. Second round pick for a kicker.
Wasn't that like, I think that was the year there on Hard Knocks, right?
I think it was.
And it was just like, holy crap.
Like, he's only 28 right now, today. Like, he still should be kicking for another 12 years for Tampa Bay.
Amazing.
And has not played since 2016.
So, people, get your shots in on Randy Bullock while you can, but just know that someday you may be, this goes back to like being a human. Someday you may be welcoming Randy Bullock back as Titans kicker. So, be nice.
I am, in all seriousness, I'm interested to see if there's any interest on him out there. I mean, he's 33 years old. He's been a decent kicker in the NFL. But, like, he also, I mean, you're hoping and praying once you get to about 50, 51, 52 yards that he's got enough leg to get it there. That's not a great spot to be in for the NFL.
It's not. No. And, look, it's like an upgrade would be great. But, like, you want to – and it's a big deal. The Titans next year, there's still going to be a situation where I just don't see an offensive revolution where, you know, they're back to around 30 points a game. They're going to be in a bunch of close games, relying on their defense. And if you can just be a tick better at place kicker, that could mean an extra win or two.
Scott from Goodlettsville says, all the discussion about the Titans shows how J-Rob really messed things up. It's from Scott from Goodlettsville. They do have a lot of needs.
He did make some mistakes. If Rand Carthon drafts an offensive tackle in the first round, again, that's four since 2020, all in the first three rounds. Two first rounders, a second rounder, and a third rounder since 2020.
It's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rextra. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Michelle and Junie coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.